Tom Parry.
Matt Boyle.
Do you know these things called video games?
Oh, I vaguely remember them, yeah.
Yeah, something with bleep bloops. There's something with buttons, blowing cartridges. That's all I can really remember about it, to be honest
with
you.
It's like a film, but it's interactive.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a really good idea.
With pictures on the screen, but you can interact with them by pressing buttons and such, yeah?
Really? Awesome. That sounds like a novel idea. Do you think that'll catch on? Do you think people will be interested in that?
Nah, I just think people might just want to just watch a film and have a cup of tea and switch off a bit.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, let's talk about something else then, I guess. It's Tom Matt Attack. Yeah. How are you doing? You all right?
I said that because sometimes that's exactly what I feel like doing. You know, I could play a game, but you know what? I'd rather just watch a film and have a cup of tea.
You know what this is a signifier of?
I'm getting old.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't matter because a lot of people who are older than me, John Carpenter plays video games.
I mean, it's because John Carpenter probably like jet skis in his spare time, I imagine, while playing a piano.
Yeah, he's a talented man, yeah. I'm going to put it past him.
I just, every time I think of him now, I think of that music video he did recently where he's like playing a piano that's on fire. I can't.
Really? I've not seen that. Wow.
I can't even remember what it
sounds very dangerous. Was it real fire or was it virtual?
No,
fire?
It looked like real fire.
That must have been incredibly hot.
I imagine, yeah. It was for Halloween, maybe for a new Halloween theme.
Okay.
I can't. Nice. Yeah, I can't remember what it was for. Anyway, yeah, I've seen John Carpenter play a piano on fire.
Wow.
Yeah. Video games. I get you. Video games.
I have been playing. Now I say that. I say that, Matt. Though I have been playing some video games, so I can talk about video games. Go on. Sorry.
So can I? I haven't really been playing a lot recently. Actually, as weird serendipity would have it, I'm not going to dwell too much on it because I was at an event yesterday for a launch of a video game, actually. One of my good friends, Jason, has just released a video game called Dr. Corona, which is essentially something he made over Corona times.
and is
almost Dr. Mario-esque with some neat little power-ups and kind of make it a bit more Tetris Battle Gaiden. It's fun. It's a very fun game. It's available now on Steam. And I was at that event. And while getting absolutely demolished at the game despite having playtested it a lot.
When you said demolished, I thought it would be alcohol based.
No, it wasn't. Unfortunately, I'm on antibiotics, so I couldn't have drunk even if I wanted to, which is ironic given the doctor theme. But I got absolutely whooped by my lovely lady wife, who is better at puzzle games than I am at Dr. Corona.
And here it is. Is it called Super Dr. Corona?
It is called Super Dr. Corona, yes.
Sorry. Yep.
Yeah, so I was playing that lovely game again, available now on Steam. And I was chatting to people who I know. And generally speaking, they were like, oh, what are you playing at the moment? And I was like, oh, not a lot, actually. Maybe nothing at all. Which is not really true. I have been playing 2064 Read Only Memories. I've been slowly working through that, given that there's a new version of that game out. But I didn't really want to be like, oh, well, I've played a couple of demos of stuff and nothing's really stuck with me. I didn't really want to have that conversation, but here we are. We will have that conversation live on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Super Dr. Corona, out now on Steam. Sorry, that's the last plug for a friend's video game. I've played a couple of things over the last couple of weeks since we last podcasted. One of them
a couple
being,
of weeks.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
I think it's more like a couple of months, isn't it?
I'm being generous with my interpretation of time. I played a few things. One of them being the Sandland demo, because I was quite excited for this. I haven't read the original manga by Akira Toriyama, but it has always been something I've been quite curious in. And you and I talked about this last week because it was the only thing I'd really played in a while. And we were both like...
Yes, this was just a conversation, wasn't it, last week? It was. We didn't record it. Mm.
Sometimes we talk into a microphone and we don't record it, and that's nice. When we were talking about it, though, you and I both had exactly the same experience of this demo. Is that it's very confusing.
Not a good demo. Not the way you do a demo.
No. So what it does is it generally just drops you in a literal sandbox because it is a big open desert and it says, okay, well, just have fun and just play with it. And it's like, well, no, because there's clearly objectives and I'm clearly in the middle of a story. What am I supposed to be doing? Because it feels like at this point of the game, I'm expected to know what I'm doing.
I despise any game that makes me think about what I should be doing. No, I mean, you know, like, it's so vague. I despise any game that makes me think about what I'm doing. Yeah, okay, that doesn't sound very good, did it?
It doesn't. No, it's a very dismissive comment, but no, I get what you mean. It's like, there's Dark Souls and there's this. It's, you know, Dark Souls has a level of like, oh, well, figure it out. You can clearly see that, you know.
Well, as a demo, you know, you're selling the concept, aren't you? You're like, what is the concept of the game? You might want to know that when you go into the demo. You might want to be introduced to the characters straight away and the story and everything, and not just be a character you know nothing about in a world you know nothing about with an objective you also know nothing about.
Forced to engage with systems that are not explained at all to you.
Yeah.
It is a not very a good odd way to thing.
You can introduce these things, you know, and that you get a proper feel for the game instead of having to work it out for yourself. I think as a demo, it should at least do that, shouldn't it?
I think it's quite odd, though, because I have played another Bandai Namco demo that I'll talk about in a second. And having played the One Piece Eternal Odyssey demo a couple of weeks back or months back as that game is released, I think that does a much better job of just going, hey, this is a tutorial segment of this game and this is what it's all about. Whereas the Sandlot demo just kind of drops you in the middle of it and goes, okay, we'll figure it out. It made me go from like, oh, I will probably buy this game immediately to, I'm going to wait for this to come on sale because this seems very complicated and necessarily not what I'm really interested in right now.
It's not meant to put you off getting the game.
No, and that is the exact effect that it has had, unfortunately. Yeah. So much so morning that when I was sat down to look and having a browse of the PlayStation Store going, what should I buy? What should I play? I actually started thinking of games that I wanted to play like last year and kind of forgot about things like the Shin-chan game that's on the Switch before I thought of Sandland, which is insane. Considering it's a new game and it's just come out, and from all accounts, it's pretty good. I just think it's a very bad demo, which is a shame.
It had very small writing.
Very small writing.
Which I don't think you can get around that, you know, even in the main game. But I like you, here it's good. So, you know, just a shame the demo wasn't so good and the text was so small.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, right, as I said, I did play another Bandai Namco game. Which is Jujutsu Kaisen, Cursed Clash, because I like me some of that manga. And that game has ample text sizes. A relatively decent demo to give you an idea of what the game is going to be, but unfortunately, it's another one of those Bandai Namco open arena fighters, much like your Naruto and your Dragon Ball Z games. And while I was lured in with the temptation that, oh, there's a story mode and you can play through Jujutsu Kaisen, I was like, well, at least there'll be like some interesting cutscenes in between. It feels very, very low budget. All it is like a bit of the voice acting, and I'm not sure if they're the same voice actors as from the anime, but it feels like a visual novel retelling of the story, like one still drawing of a character and then text by the side of it.
Not so abnormal in fighting games. Just think.
No, I know.
Blaze Blue or Guilty Gear. But
this is retelling a story that is both a comic and a very massively popular anime. You'd think
it's not Dragon Ball budget. you know, what they put into the Dragon Ball video games, usually.
It is not Dragon Ball budget. It is not Naruto budget. It is not even the budget of some mobile games I've played recently. Like,
it's just budget.
It's budget, but full price. The game will actually set you back, like, 40, 50 quid. Well, probably not at this point, because reviews have panned it. It's, and said that it's very low budget. And so I think now you could probably pick it up for about the £30 mark. But yeah, it's an arena fighter. There's not really a lot to say about it. So I'm not going to get too in-depth into it because we've got a lot of stuff to talk about since it's been a while. But I was just a bit disappointed with it, to be honest with you.
Here we are. Here's a comment on that. I think this is a review. It's from Metacritic. Basically, everything a great anime fighting game needs has it all. However, the essentially good ideas lack the necessary polish, which is why the title ultimately cannot realize its full potential.
That feels very accurate. So even in the tutorial bit, I was running around as Yuji, like, doing landing punches on Gojo, the Kakashi stand-in of Jujutsu Kaisen. And, like, while I was hitting him, the model was just still, and so I was just bouncing this model around with absolutely no reaction from it, and I was like, oh, man.
Yes, if I've learned anything about Bandai Namco games, don't get them on release nowadays, because, like Klonoa and like Pac-Man Repacked, both of them have come down to next to nothing. You know, and I was, I should get these and release, because, you know, I don't know if they'll, you know, become, you know, hard to find or whatever. No. I thought that about Pac-Man, especially because at one point it was a game exclusive.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, I should get that, you know. And I was very excited about Klonoa. I think you can get it now for like less than a tenner.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe this Jujutsu Kaisen game, if you are interested, don't pay full price, wait, and you probably will be able to get it for a very affordable price, which is more fitting of the quality of the game, perhaps.
Yeah, but I think it's a shame, because obviously it is a massively, massively popular franchise at the moment, and I think it deserves better. I
saw someone yesterday wearing a Jujutsu. Is it called Jujutsu Kaisen? Yes.
It is Jujutsu Kaisen. Sorry. Yeah.
I saw someone in a hoodie of one of the characters yesterday. So, you know, that's how popular it is. There's people out there wearing hoodies with it on.
You can buy their clothes in Uniqlo. You can get them in Primark. Like, it is a very popular thing.
In Primark.
I've like heard rumors. Yes, like the Street Fighter t-shirt you are showing me.
Primark Street Fighter t-shirt.
A £4 Primark Street Fighter t-shirt. What more can a man ask for?
What more could a man want? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a bit disappointed with this. And so I then played a game that I quite enjoyed, but you kind of bounced off of. But as I have been talking about a lot of video games, what have you been playing, Tom, before I get
what
into
What have
that?
I been playing? Well, most recently today I was playing Sonic Generations.
Yep. Of course.
No surprises that I'm playing a Sonic game. But, you know, there's been a little bit of new footage released of the forthcoming Sonic Cross Shadow. I think it's Cross, not X, because when they do the X, it's a crossover, isn't it? So it's meant to be a cross. Anyway,
Sonic... I just thought it was a Hunter thing where you don't pronounce it. I thought it was just Sonic Shadow.
I remember when Street Fighter Cross Tekken came out. It was called Cross Tekken. And ever since then, every time I see that, well, it's Cross, isn't it? Crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I've seen footage of this, and I was thinking, you know what, does this look substantially any different than perhaps the game looked originally? But then again, I've been playing it on the Series S, and I think it had a bit of an upgrade.
Okay.
The Xbox 360 game did to run maybe 60 frames per second. And anyway, it's still a very nice looking, smooth playing game in its original form, at least if you play it on modern consoles like the Xbox Series, the Xbox Series consoles, at least. What will be new then is the Shadow content, which will run parallel, I suppose, to the Sonic stuff, as I'm led to believe, but can only really start at Sonic Adventure 2, can't it? Because the game Sonic Generations begins at the beginning. You play a level from Sonic 1, Green Hill, then you do Chemical Plant, then you do Sky Sanctuary from Sonic & Knuckles, and, you know, it treats Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles as one game again, as now is the norm, but of course when we were younger that they were two different games which could be connected. And then, yeah, then you go into what's the next one? Sonic Adventure, Sonic Adventure 2, and then Sonic Heroes. So I imagine what we're going to get is, I don't know if we're going to get as much stuff with Shadow then, if he can only sort of start having his own versions of levels. Maybe just have multiple versions of levels from games rather than just one per game. Who knows? But
maybe he will be kicked back into classic Sonic and you'll just run around instead of like doing loop-the-loop shooting things instead. I've
not seen any footage of him in like 2D gameplay, which is also the template of Sonic Generations. You play the 2D classic levels and then you play the 3D versions of them. So, of course, there's Shadow the Hedgehog, of course, which Sonic doesn't have any levels in, as far as I'm aware.
No.
I can't recall him. Being.
You would know, Tom, if you were saying
that. Well, I have plays with Sonic. I mean, with Shadow the Hedgehog, though, there's multiple paths to go down, so I don't know if I've missed anything when I've played through Shadow the Hedgehog anyway. So that's an interesting prospect, but it's hard to get excited about Shadow Cross Sonic Generations because, you know, how much new game is there, you know? And especially when you can play Sonic Generations in a really great form already. Anyway, still a great game, still great fun. Played a bit of that. Been playing Shenmue.
Really?
One.
Sonic and Shenmue. Wow! Who would have thought?
Oh, this is really... Okay, I'll get onto something that, you know, I haven't talked about before. But Shenmue, no, you know, I picked up playing the re-release on the PS4 because, you know, I couldn't believe it myself. I hadn't played through the whole game. I'd got so far and I just stopped for some reason. Not unlike me. Which isn't unlike me, though. But being Shenmue, I thought I would have probably seen it through. Anyway, so I was up to the bit where you start at the harbour, basically, and you're doing the forklift truck, moving of boxes and asking everyone about the mad angels till everybody's incredibly pissed off at you for continually just badgering them about, do you know about the mad angels, you know? So that's where I'm up to. I think I've done the fourth day of forklift racing, and I think there's at least five because you do five forklift truck races because you can win five forklift prizes depending on where you finish in the race. I've got the number one. I can't remember if I ever did that on the Dreamcast. Came first in the forklift truck driving. Probably I did. But I got that. So I think about one more day probably before Nozomi gets kidnapped. Spoilers. I still love that game. I mean, it's always been a bit janky, I suppose, in the way you move around. And I think playing it again recently, it's like, oh, yeah, movement in Shenmue is a bit... Yeah, but at the time... Go on.
Never is that jank more obvious, though, than during the forklift races. I hate that section of that game. Like,
oh, really? You just have to get used to how they control, because at first you'll be hitting the sides as you try to take corners too tight or hitting other forklifts, perhaps. And then also, perhaps when you're doing the normal forklift, the truck driving in the day, moving boxes, you'll probably ram into people and have to get stuck and things. You're right, Matt. Yeah, I think the control in Shenmue, for the most part, it's actually fine. It did feel a bit weird at the time that you used the D-pad and looked around with the stick, you know, when you also used to play N64 and other Dreamcast games, of course. And nowadays just feel a bit dodgy. But yeah, that's the worst bit, really.
It is. You know I love to tease you about Shenmue, but genuinely, I think most of how that game controls is fine. I really dislike the forklift bit. Yeah. I think I don't like racing games anyways, as you well know. And I think it's a bad racing game. It's just
only a mini game, though, when you think about it.
No, because you have to reach certain levels within it to continue, don't you, from what I remember?
No, the racing's just an extra bit. But when driving the forklift, yes. Yeah, you. I think there's a quota, but you only get a raise if you... I've never missed the quota. I've always got more than the quota. So I don't know what happens if you, don't get the quota every day. I can't remember. Sometimes there is a way to fail in Shenmue if you go past a certain date in the game.
Yeah.
if you drag it out so long and don't do what you need to do, I think you can fail the game. But that's not a problem for me at the minute anyway. I do feel that particular section of the game, the end bit of the game, does drag on a bit, you know, because you got 5 days at least of forklift truck stuff. And if you're not a fan of it, I don't mind it.
Which I wasn't.
Yeah. There was a degree of satisfaction.
There's when you can't even say the word. Actually.
But the problem with it is I wish you get more bonus, because all you can really do with the extra money you get is buy capsule toys or cassette tapes. After a while, the whole capsule collection does get a little bit frustrating because you get so many duplicates.
It never drew me in because I was like, well, I don't care about these virtual knickknacks. It's fun the first couple of times you put money in the capsule machine. Yeah. You're like, oh, look at that. It's Sonic. Oh, isn't that fun? But after a while, I was just like, okay, I'm moving on.
I know this one, Rio says. This one again? Anyway, I still enjoy it. You can play like a Shenmue day every day. That's what I've not been playing it like sit there solidly playing Shenmue. I've been like, one day I'll do a day in game and then next day I'll do another game. Just play it very casually. And yes, I still enjoy it.
I'm glad that Shenmue is serving the same comfort needs for you as Sonic games are, where you can just dip into a little bit of Shenmue and just be like, cool, I'm done with it, and then float away.
Like with Sonic. Okay, one last thing before we continue on with what you were about to say about a certain other game. Mr. Driller Drillland is neat. Yeah. So
Is this the new Mr. Driller?
I don't think it's that new. It was on Xbox One store. That's where I got it. And it was very cheap, if I recall. And, you know, I've dabbled with Mr. Driller in the past and quite enjoyed it, but never loved Mr. Driller as a game. But this has lots of different variations on the formula. So it's like you go to a theme park and it's different worlds within the theme park based on different... one is themed around, what's that dungeon crawler Namco game? It's, you know... Tower of Draga. What one's based around that, where you have items that you pick up as you dig down and also paths which you can go off, and you have to go down a certain path to get a key to go and finish the level. And the neat mechanics are unique to each different, let's call it, area within the theme park. And you play as a different Mr. Driller character. And the presentation, beautiful menus and everything. And addictive, varied gameplay. So it's not your traditional Mr. Driller, but in a way that's quite good because you get so many unique twists on the formula. It's really quite fun.
Yeah, I'm saying again, to harken back to Corona Times, it's just made a fool of us all in terms of like when stuff's come out in my memory.
Yeah.
It's actually a 4-year-old re-release of a GameCube game that was a Japan
I thought
exclusive.
It might be, yes. I thought it might have been based on an older game in the series.
Yeah, I would like to pick this up. If it's still cheap, I will have a look. And
this was a while ago.
I'll have a look. I mean, this is the thing in this day and age, right? It feels like stuff is perpetually on sale now on the PlayStation 5. Every time I look into like the sales section, there's like at least 3 different sales running at one time.
Mr. Driller Drillland. What's it on? You can get it on Switch and we get everything.
Yeah, it's on everything. PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series S and X. So
I'm realizing
get your drill in wherever you can.
Yeah. The Mr. Driller series is an interesting one because there's quite a few installments of the game. And yeah, I always like the way it looks. I like the design, the visuals of Mr. Driller. I find them very appealing.
I love the aesthetic. I mean, it's the evolution of Dig Dug, which is also a game I like. So there are at least 2 Game Boy Advance Mr. Driller games, and both of them are all right, from what I remember.
Yeah, I also picked up Mr. Driller G recently, which is a Japanese exclusive Mr. Driller game that has some sort of more single player elements to it, which without a knowledge of Japanese will be a little bit difficult to appreciate. But the presentation again is really nice, and it's of that era of Type 4 and Ace Combat 3 where you've got, I think, the same people working on the front ends of these games, and it's a very attractive looking presentation. So
I love the aesthetic.
So Mr. Driller, if you've not thought about Mr. Driller for a while, well, maybe it's time to jump back in
and, to get and, your and drill
go,
on.
Go down that rabbit hole, go down that hole,
that hole of Duraga.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, if you want to go down the hole,
that's
of
what
Duraga.
It's called, Hole of Duraga. Yeah, I think that's the name of the actual level in Drill Land. Yeah, it's fun. Okay. You know, really fun.
Okay, I would like some Mr. Driller in my life. I think that's what I'm missing. I think I'm missing simple, fun games. And again, not being able to find my bloody playdate is driving me up the wall, because I would love to give it a go.
Can you get Mr. Driller for your phone?
I'm sure you can. There must be a Mr. Driller for the phone.
iOS. South Korea. Mr. Driller for Kakao. Right. Okay, I think, you know, with a bit of digging, you might find something that's playable on a phone. I was just curious.
I'm sure there's some version of Mr. Driller. Anyways, I've played a game, Tom, that people have told me was Game of the Year material and everything else. And as a game that has been out of my grasp for a very, very long time, so much so that when it was finally announced for the Nintendo Switch and PS5, I was like, oh, I'm buying that immediately. And before the game could even come out, Microsoft shuttered the studio. So there will never be any more of this game. Because, unfortunately, Tango Gameworks is no more. But I finally managed to play Hi-Fi Rush. And I'll tell you what, Tom, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's another colourful game, which is nice, isn't it, nowadays? When you looked at that State of Play, or even a lot of the Summer Game Fest announcements. And quite a lot of stuff is very realistic looking, a little bit drab, you know?
Yes.
So games stick out that are colourful, like Astro Bot, which I'm no doubt we'll talk about in a bit. But Hi-Fi Rush, another great example of a colourful world, very game-like, game-looking game.
It is a game-looking game, game-like, that has a very good sense of humour, music that definitely resonates with my musical preferences, and also just, I don't know, there's something about it that playing it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a game in 10 years' time that a certain demographic of player will have played, and it will have a massive impact on them, like a Jet Set Radio. And it will be talked about in conversations, but I imagine because of the shuttering of Tango Gameworks, will be an absolute pain in the ass to play unless they keep putting it on systems. I don't know,
well,
I just get the feeling...
It's not going to disappear, is it? You're going to be able to buy it digitally, on PS5.
So. Yeah. PS5. I hope so. Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely on these systems now, but I mean, I don't know, it just feels like one of those games has kind of got to fall through the cracks.
Oh, you're thinking down the line, the fact that it's digital, it's not got a physical release, and when they do shut down the stores.
These services, exactly.
Well, you know, we're a long way off that, yeah, but yes, I can see that being a concern if it's a particularly noteworthy game. Like, I keep hearing this is, I have played it myself, but didn't quite get into it.
So how much did you play of it? Because I got up to the first boss and beat the first boss.
How long would that be in terms of time?
An hour or so. You would remember if you fought the first boss, because it's a Nine Inch Nails song and you're in a big arena thing.
Is it really?
Yes.
No, I haven't fought the first boss.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe 45 minutes, half an hour, I've played Hi-Fi Rush. I could see what it was going for. I think I found the rhythm-based gameplay at odds with the action nature of the game. I think I just wanted it to be an action game. And I felt like, because it tries to mix the two, I didn't quite get into it as much as maybe you did, perhaps.
I know what you're saying. And because I've definitely felt that way, right? Like, there's been times where, as we've bemoaned on this podcast for a while now, like, square light attack, triangle heavy attack is something that we've done a lot. I have Yakuza muscle memory of my combos and how quickly I want to press those buttons to do things and everything else. But I actually, I know what you're saying, because I definitely felt the same way where I kept screwing up the timing of what I was doing. But I kind of, after the third fight of going, oh, I'm not really getting this, I was like, right, okay, I will purposely try to play the game on its own terms and go like, right, square, 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 square. It becomes really fun. Once I met the game on its own terms, I was like, oh, this is actually, there's something to this. And the way you can see that the enemies are also attacking on the beat, the way that you dodge on the beat and everything else, if you're really in that, like, I'm just going to keep basic, like, 4-4 time with these attacks and, like, allow myself to look around in between the beats because I know I'm just keeping the beat with my thumb, it actually lets you do some stuff that I don't usually find myself doing in these games. It lets you kind of like read the arena a lot better and do dodges and stuff. And like, I'm still getting bees. I'm still not doing the insane things, but it's got given me a glimpse of that kind of action game like this, where like people are getting S ranks in the later levels of Devil May Cry and Bayonetta and stuff. And it's giving me a glimpse of like, oh, well, actually, if I play this game a little bit differently, if I meet it on its own terms, I could be really good at this game and I could really enjoy it. That said, if it does get harder, I think the easy rank of this game, the easy difficulty, lets you knock it down to that. And I think you can just ignore the rhythm stuff entirely. So I'm on the fence of like, do I engage with this? I started on normal. Usually, as long-term listeners know, I'll start on easy because I'm just like, okay, I just want to experience this game. I don't really care about like learning the in-depths of the mechanics. But with this game, I started on normal because generally when I play a rhythm game, I often find if you go for the easier difficulty on things like Guitar Hero, it's not really on the rhythm. It feels like a simplified version of the rhythm, and like it tends to throw me off because I'm listening to the actual track and trying to keep time with the actual song. But here I didn't feel that. Normal definitely felt like it had it right. And I'm very curious to see, as I play more of this game, will I just abandon the rhythm mechanics entirely, or will I get used to it?
Do you think it is possible to do that?
I think so. I imagine, because the easy mode's just like, oh, for people who struggle with rhythm and everything else, which is generally me in these games. Like,
a good rhythm game. I just thought the style of gameplay is a bit at odds with my traditional view of what a rhythm game is, I think. Because I like Parappa and Fib Ribbon and
of course.
What's the one on the Nintendo? Rhythm Heaven?
What, like Elite Beat Agents? And Rhythm Heaven and all this kind of stuff.
I've enjoyed all those games in the past. But for some reason this one didn't gel with me, and perhaps I didn't give it enough time. Perhaps I should have stuck with it a bit more. And I think when you're playing stuff on Game Pass, it is easy to say, oh, you know what, I need some space on my hard drive. I'll just delete that and play something else because I'm not immediately gelled with it. And I think that may be what happened with me and Hi-Fi Rush. I didn't give it enough of a chance and wanted that precious hard drive space to try something else. So
I get it. And
my loss, perhaps.
Well, like I said, I had this exact same reaction as you when I first started playing it. I was like, oh my God, I just want to press square and like mash through these enemies. I want to get through this area quickly. You need to meet the game on its own terms. You need to go like, right.
I realized that playing it though. I think I did sort of realize that you'd have to play a certain way. I think maybe that just felt too restrictive with me. For me, it's a long time ago that I played that now. So it's not really fresh in my mind because I think I played it as soon as it appeared on Game Pass, which was quite a while ago now, I think.
Yeah, I remember you being quite down on it at the time.
Was I?
Like, I'm sure go check the tape. No, I don't think you were dismissive. I think you, as we've already said, I think you liked the music. I think you liked the vibe. the comedy, the brightness, and all of this other
stuff. Saturday morning TV show vibe of it, the cartoon vibe of it. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Yeah,
it's just got. It's like I said, it looks beautiful. I like the humor. It's got bits of like Mega Man and all these other kind of games thrown into it as well that you're collecting, like life containers and all this other stuff. It feels like it's leaning into that aesthetic because you are this Chai character and he's got a robotic arm and he's been accidentally rebuilt with his heart being an MP3 player. Like, it's got
it's fun.
Some
it's
of
all
the
fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's goofy. It feels like an 80s Saturday morning cartoon, as you say. I think it leans into the aesthetics of some of those games. It's very much in conversation with stuff like Bayonetta, with stuff like Devil May Cry, with the rankings and bonus points and all this kind of stuff.
But it doesn't play like those games, really.
It doesn't play like those games at all. And I'm kind of glad. Because while I would have enjoyed it if it was just a light attack, heavy attack, I think I would be more inclined, because my initial thoughts were like, oh, this kind of feels like Ratchet and Clank. But like I said,
is it because you've got a wrench? Is that why?
Yeah, maybe. But you're also collecting bolts and stuff. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Do you have a wrench, or am I just like remembering that wrong?
You have a wrench that turns into a guitar.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There is something of Ratchet and Clank about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I generally speaking, like I think it's like 50% off at the moment on the PlayStation sale. So it's like. I think I paid like
£15 for it. Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it, that they ended up on PlayStation, because you thought that perhaps that game was going to remain an Xbox exclusive. But then seeing what Microsoft decided to do with the studio, yeah, they probably wanted to make as much off that game as possible, so they made it available on PlayStation 2. PlayStation 5, I mean.
I think a PlayStation... I mean, it would be great on the PlayStation 2. I think this is just where we are with video games at the moment. And I think we'll talk about this in a bit, but I mean, it's been a year of mass layoffs within tech, especially within video games. You've got people like Square Enix coming out there going, well, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth being a PlayStation 5 exclusive, even though it sold really well and was number one, it's like, well, it didn't meet expectations, so in the future we're going to be multi-platform. Success and the cost of making these games now is, I think, so astronomically high that as time goes on, exclusives are making less and less sense, which is good for gamers, but potentially bad for studios as well, because I think as the cost of living increases and as the cost of developing these games goes up, I think it becomes harder and harder to justify having multiple studios for some of these bigger games publishers. And
it's interesting,
sucks.
Isn't it? When you make a game available on everything, the games that sort of define a console no longer... Do you know what I mean? I kind of like... I mean, I think it's great that more people get to play the game, as many as possible. But it used to be like they had an identity, I think, consoles nowadays. And when you sort of remove the exclusivity prospect from a console, it does lose some of its identity, but I suppose there's still some games which are synonymous with their consoles. Halo is still, you know, an Xbox game, so is Gears of War, even though these things are available on PC. So it's still there to a bit, but perhaps in future that will disappear entirely. Not necessarily a bad thing, but sort of for the identity of a console, it's
well, I still think it's there because I mean Nintendo games are still Nintendo games.
Well, because they're not available anything else.
Helldivers is a game that I associate with PS5, even though I know it blew up on Steam. Like Gran Turismo, Last of Us,
PlayStation. It's still there. I mean, less so maybe in Microsoft's case nowadays, when Halo and Gears aren't really at the forefront of what Microsoft do nowadays. I don't feel not like they used to be.
No. And I mean, we're recording this on the day that there's going to be an Xbox showcase thing as part of Summer's Games Fest. So Fable, there may be other stuff as well. Yeah. Who knows?
Forza. I suppose that's another Xbox thing.
It is. Wouldn't it be weird if they're just like, Fable, coming to PlayStation 5, this thing. I doubt it would happen, but still.
Yeah. I don't know, it's never really affected me that much because I've not sort of exclusively had the one thing for a while now. It used to be that I just had the in the 360 PS3 generation, I just had a Wii for the longest time, and I have experienced that. That just lately, if I was just a Switch gamer, I would have got the chance to play Biomutant. So yeah, it's good that you don't miss out anymore. No, necessarily.
I mean, I don't have an Xbox, so this is why.
No, you don't. That's true. Yes.
Play these things.
You do have an Xbox One, though.
I do have an Xbox One somewhere, yeah, but I think I've turned it on all like three times. I played Inside, and there was something else that came out that was Xbox exclusive, and that was it. That was all I used that console for.
So that really goes to show that the exclusives that Microsoft have offered haven't really, even if you used to play Halo, didn't you? And
yeah, Halo's, I loved yeah. Halo. I played that defined my 360 generation.
But now you've moved on from Halo, and you don't have an urge to play any more Halo, I suppose.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's fun to go back to every now and again. Like, some of our good friends are interested in Halo still, and we have like a LAN night every now and again. But I don't know. I think I've just moved on from playing first person shooters.
Playing a bit of Halo multiplayer, because Halo multiplayer is something that doesn't require any sort of subscription. With Fortnite on Xbox. Now, I think, as far as I'm aware, well, that's two examples. I don't know how many more examples of there are of games which don't force you to have what isn't gold anymore. It's more like Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and Core, is it, or something?
Yeah, it's Core, I think, right?
Yeah, so that's weird. I'm still not quite used to that, because obviously playing Xbox for a number of years, gold was the was gold and not gold.
Yeah,
and regular Xbox Live, wasn't it? So,
uh-huh.
But you could always play, couldn't you? Even if you didn't have, could you play online without gold?
You cannot play online without gold. Trust me, because when I used to play Gears of War for like magazines.
Ah, of course you couldn't. That was the opposite. It was PlayStation where you didn't have to have a subscription to play online, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes it would have to be us all looking round in the clan going, does anyone have a 24-hour code so-and-so can play this match for us tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Different times.
Different times indeed. Yeah, so Hi-Fi Rush.
Hi-Fi Rush. I will continue to play it. I like it. Let me see, as the difficulty increases, will I just knock the rhythm stuff on the head, or will I really get into it? But generally speaking, very positive first impression. So if you are a PlayStation owner, and like me, you haven't had a chance to play it, despite the disillusion of Tango Gameworks, go give it a go. I think it's a very solid game, and you'll see why everyone was giving it Game of the Year and stuff last year. I think it's great.
Yeah, fantastic. I've just recalled talking about a bright and colourful game like Hi-Fi Rush, a colourful game that I've been playing recently, Penny's Big Breakaway. Now, I've not had a chance to talk about this on the podcast, I've just recalled.
I don't even know what this is.
This is a game from the studio that created Sonic Mania. It's a 3D platform game with a unique yo-yo traversal mechanic. It's very polished in a way that, you know, it reminds you of a Nintendo game, actually, with a very beautiful aesthetic. The colors really appealing, the color combinations used in the stages and such, and the mechanics of the game. See, the yo-yo you can use it to roll on, to slide in a sort of Sonic the Hedgehog type way, slide down banks and stuff. You can use it to sort of propel yourself forward, to swing through the air. It's a very fun, enjoyable game that I think if you were a fan of platformers, for sure you should definitely experience Penny's Big Breakaway. It does a lot of unique stuff as well.
It looks very fun.
I might pick this up. Really good. It's really good. I can't recommend it enough. I think I bought it on release, but I think it's been discounted recently.
I'm going to give this a look. This looks kind of fun.
It is. You'll be impressed. You'll appreciate we're talking about the Namco aesthetic with the menus and stuff. This has its own unique, colourful aesthetic, which is very appealing.
It's like even the way that Penny herself is designed, it harkens back to low poly characters and stuff. It's very cool.
I think there is a sort of, I've heard this like Knight sort of Sega, Sega Saturn era type aesthetic to some of it, perhaps. I've heard that being said about this game. And I get that. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is about it, but it's of a certain time, the aesthetic. Perhaps it is of that those are Saturn, Sega years.
Yeah, but it's got other stuff going on as well.
Like Mario. I mean, it is quite reminiscent of Super Mario as well in a lot of ways.
I mean, it even reminds me of the game there I compare something that actually looks very nice to, Rascal, in weird bits.
Oh, really?
The way some of the environments look and the way they've used like color within areas, or just one or two of these screenshots at least, actually looking at most of it, that's a very bad comparison, but I don't know, there's something about that low poly style that also makes me think of like a third party PlayStation 1 early platformers.
One of the things that's quite unique about it is because of the concept of the story, you're on the run basically. It's called Penny's Big Breakaway because you've performed your yo-yo act. It's some talent show, if I recall. It's been a while since I've played the beginning of the game. And you're on the run because something's gone wrong during that. I can't remember what it was during that talent show. And now you're being chased by the Penguin Police. So all these little penguins are around, and sometimes they'll swarm you. And if too many get on you without you batting the penguins away, they capture you in the same sort of way that they do in, what's it called? Yoshi's Island.
Yeah.
I don't know how it got me so long to get to the end of that sentence. But, they carry baby Mario off. So the similar thing happens if you let these penguins get hold of you. Which it is, it's a different element to the gameplay. It shakes it up a bit. It's only certain stages in the levels where the penguins are sort of about. But you just got to watch out for them and not let them get hold of you.
Yeah, the more I look at this game, the more I want to play it. It looks
I really recommend you do. I recommend, it's just a really good game. It's really polished. I think the fact that you don't know about it's concerning because I wonder how many other people aren't aware of this game and are missing out on it because it's very good.
Mm-hmm. It's also 34% off on Steam at the moment.
What's that?
It's 34% off on Steam at the moment, which, considering the game came out in February,
yeah,
maybe not a great indication.
Digital Foundry gave it a bit of focus. I think they had a whole video about it. But yeah, you think about the quality of Sonic Mania, the 2D platform game, and then you transpose that to 3D with a great aesthetic and great new mechanics, show that it's a great game.
Yeah, it's beautiful in motion too. It looks really cool.
Very good. So yeah, I had to get that one out, to mention that one. And I nearly forgot now, because I say it's been so long since we've done these, and I've not played it for a little while, so.
It's interesting to me, right, looking at this and going, wow, this looks like a game I'd really be interested in. Considering that Summer's Games Fest has gone on at the moment, which I've alluded to, and none of the things I've really seen from that have had the same effect on me.
No. How do you feel about Astrobot, because in the state of play? Because that, against everything else in that presentation, really stood out to me.
I mean, for me, the state of play had two highlights, one being the new Monster Hunter game, and the other was definitely Astrobot.
Yeah, they sort of left it till near the end, didn't they, Astrobot?
They did, and I think that kind of talks to what a big deal it is. I mean,
it sounds like it's going to be quite a big game as well, and a lot bigger than, obviously, the pack-in experience you get with the PS5.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I mean, how long... We've talked multiple times on this podcast as various Astrobot things have come out for the PSVR and also for the PlayStation 5 with the pack-in game, that Astrobot is something they should do something with. It's the most still the most fun I've had with the PlayStation 5, I think. The way it harnesses the DualSense, the way it pays homage to previous PlayStation games, just it made me really want to play it.
I'm very excited for it. Can you remember when that's coming out?
I believe
this year.
It's this year. Whether or not they gave a firm date, though, September 6th. Yes.
My birthday. So your
birthday, Tom. Look at that. Sony giving a gift just for you.
Well, they're not going to give it to me, are they?
No, they're not. Unfortunately.
You'll
have to pay full price for it, but still.
September 6th, right. There's a good few games coming up then on my radar. There's that. There is the new Dragon Ball and the new Fatal Fury. Dragon Ball, Sparking Zero, and what are they calling that new Fatal Fury? Mark of the Wolves or Fatal Fury? What are they calling it? Garou?
Oh, the new Fatal Fury is called, drumroll. Where is it? It's too far up this list.
City Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves.
Yes. It looks good. I was kind of a bit sad when I saw this. It's like, oh, new Fatal Fury. Who will I play it with?
Oh, Matt, play online.
Oh, it's not the same, Tom. It's not the same. It's not the same as you and I sat in a living room playing fighting games
I tell you what I've got into lately is sitting at this desk here, because obviously I'm at a computer, for those who don't know. I'm not at a laptop. I'm at a computer desk at a computer podcasting with Matt, and it's a great place to put your arcade stick.
Fighting stick, yeah.
Yeah. And play like you're an arcade cabinet, really. So I've really been enjoying playing. I actually picked up a few games on Steam, which are on sale, Street Fighter games mostly, because there's a great sale on the minute on Steam on Street Fighter. So actually playing these like that, it's just perfect. You know, it's all right playing them on your lap in front on the sofa,
yeah.
But to actually sit at the desk like this and have that there on the desk rather than my lap. Yeah, it's got that arcade cabinet experience that I've
just... Oh, no, absolutely. Remember when the new Guilty Gear came out and I was playing it with one of my friends and just getting to experience that up close. Also to play fighting games on a keyboard for the first time, which is also really weird.
Oh, I've never done that.
It takes all the skill out of it because you can just map like combos and stuff to buttons and then you're just pressing buttons in time, so it's more frame counting than actually playing the game.
Oh, wow, how odd. I mean,
sorry,
one of the most satisfying
the keyboard.
Things for me is that this particular stick that I've got that I'm using at the minute is a Venom stick. It's one of the higher-end USB ones for the PS. I think it's marketed for PS3 and PS4. It works on PS5 as well and PC. But actually going from like a cheaper stick, the cheaper version of this Venom stick, and then this one, wow, the smoothness on that stick. It's just like a game changer. It's so nice to use. And I forgot how much of a pleasure playing on a fighting stick can actually be.
Yeah.
So that's been a great gaming experience for me just lately, getting back into that. And Street Fighter 3 has been the one that has really grabbed me again just recently. I think Street Fighter 3 is perhaps, dare I say it, better than Street Fighter 2.
But I know Street people Fighter who share that opinion.
2 has more nostalgia and maybe the characters are better. But Street Fighter 3 is...
I like Street Fighter 3. Street Fighter 3 is a fighting game fan's Street Fighter game. And because of that, some of the combos and some of like the expectation that you're frame counting and doing all this other stuff feels to me... very much at the forefront of Street Fighter 3. Like, if you play someone who knows Street Fighter 3, you are never going to hold your own as a casual player. Like, I know people
Good like the parrying and everything in Street Fighter 3. It's not something I really have ever got to grips with entirely. I just like playing Street Fighter 3 because I just feel it's very nice to play.
I just like a lot of the characters. I think
that's got something else. I did say the characters not a good Street Fighter 2. There are great characters in there. The Street Fighter 2 has a lot of history and nostalgia, doesn't it? I suppose. But you know what happened with Street Fighter 3 in gameplay? They've improved on Street Fighter 2. There's no way around it. It does play better than Street Fighter 2, I think. Now, not to put Street Fighter 2 down and how good that is, but Street Fighter 3 is better.
I wouldn't disagree, honestly. Like, I, even though it is not a game that I really love, it's not a game I have a lot of nostalgia for or anything else. Every time I've played it, I'm like, man, this feels different. I wish I had played this at the time.
Yeah. But as much as I like Street Fighter 3, my favourite 2D fighter is probably still Capcom vs. SNK 2. But there you go. Not saying... Yeah. Street Fighter 3 probably plays better than that, but yeah.
I like Capcom vs. SNK 2. It's pretty good.
Oh, it's so good. Also, it's fun to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2 again recently. I haven't played that in ages. It's good to try that out again.
I saw the... what is it? Capcom versus the anime studio game.
Oh, the one on the Wii.
Yeah.
Tatsunoko, something like that.
I saw the
fighting stick for it here, actually.
I saw the Tatsunoko versus Capcom thing. Someone was selling it in a retro game shop a couple of weeks back, and I was like, oh, there's no point. Nice. There's a point. Yeah, no, I know, but not for like 40 quid. You know what I mean?
40
like,
quid. It's funny, this, isn't it? Yeah, because we were buying these at the time, you know, and now they're like these sought after things.
They are, Tom. They are. This is the insane thing to me now. Like, I actually did pick up a video game yesterday. I bought Nintendo's Mahjong for the Famicom because it was in a retro game shop where the Super Dr. Corona launch was happening. Uh-huh. And I bought it, and I was like, 70 krona for a Famicom game is fine. That's roughly what it is on eBay. But I'm like, man, like, I don't know. Even that to me now, for something that fits on my shelf. Whereas I used to spend like hundreds of quid a year on video games. I'm like,
I can't justify spending a lot on a video game nowadays. And evidently, I will do with... some of these new releases coming out late in the year. Like, I want to get Astro Bot, and I like to get... Thing is, I'll get that City of Wolves, Fatal Fury, and, you know, for full price. And, like, a lot of other games, like I mentioned Klonoa, even JoJo, you know, that JoJo... what's it called again? All-Star Battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, re-release. That's, like, pennies now, and I bought it on near enough on release, you know, near to the release day. And, anyway, maybe I should wait, but it's hard, isn't it, when you really want to play a game?
Exactly. Maybe you should just pick up Mai and Terry in Street Fighter 6, because they will also be coming to that.
Yes, I look forward to trying that. I haven't bought any of the extra content for Street Fighter 6 or Tekken 7, although I have played both games quite a lot. I told you I went through the whole story mode on Tekken 7, didn't I? I did.
Yeah, we talked
Not
about
Tekken
it.
Tekken 7? What an idiot. Tekken 8.
Tekken 8. I mean, I'm also, as you're correcting yourself, I'm also going to say, I know Mai isn't in Fatal Fury. She's the King of Fighters characters. Please don't harass us about that.
I want Kyo. I think my team I always use in King of Fighters is Kyo, Terry, and Mai. And Kyo's never been sort of as popular because Terry was in Smash Brothers and Mai was in Dead or Alive. I don't know why those characters are popular, but I always think Kyo's like the next one down in sort of like, and he doesn't get featured in other things normally.
It's because he's usually like...
Well, Iori as well. I don't know.
I was going to say, Iori is my usual person. Like, I understand why
cool
King isn't in Smash. Character. But yeah, I like Iori.
Yeah. But I always like Kyo. I think he's cool. But put him in something.
Yeah, it's not going to happen though, is it? Because if you're going to put Kyo in something, you're just going to put Ryu in it.
Hmm.
It's the sad truth.
Well, there we go.
Indeed. Anything, is there anything else?
Any more for any more? We've talked about the Summer Games Fest. We touched on it a bit.
We did. The thing is, right, I keep scrolling up and down this list, and other than Metaphor, Refant, Tazio, the new game from the Persona studio.
Oh yeah.
I'm not really that fast on anything. Like there was a VR Batman game. There was some other stuff announced. It's just nothing really grabs me. Everything I look at and every trailer I see just looks grim and bleak.
Yes,
and as
I'm
you
the
say,
same.
Too realistic, which is not really what I want.
No, I'm the same. I'm with you on that one, Matt. Spyro coming back? No, that's just some sort of clickbait thing.
No, the weird thing, I saw that. I don't know. There's nothing. I'm scrolling down here. Even the things that, like,
can
should
you send
be
me
kind
that,
of...
Matt?
Yeah, I can. Even the things that should be odd and quirky, like Killer Bean and stuff like that, were announced. None of them do anything for me. Like, that just, I don't know. It's just like we're really treading on
like,
ground.
I don't really need to play it. I can watch that trailer and sort of enjoy what I'm seeing there and have a little giggle at it. But I don't have a strong desire to play it based on that.
I mean, I'll play Hyper Light Breaker. I liked Hyper Light Drifter a lot. I will definitely buy a physical copy of Alan Wake 2 because that's kind of what I've been holding out for. Yeah. I know limited runs putting those out.
Not into Harry Potter personally, so I can't get excited about Quidditch Champions.
No.
That cuffbust thing looked good. Looks silly, I thought. That was the little aliens breaking out of prison.
Yeah, that looked okay.
Yeah, that looks silly. But again, it's sort of like it's like the bean game. It looked cool, but will I bother getting it? It's probably not attracting me that much. Probably
not. I feel you. I'll play Valorant now that that's finally getting launched on consoles. I've long been curious about that and never had a PC that can run it. So... But again, it's nothing that I'm like, oh my god, I must buy this day one. There's not that draw, other than Metaphor, like I said. But I
mine are
buy
the
that
obvious
anyway.
Ones. I've already said, haven't I? Yeah. Sonic as well. I'll even though it doesn't look to be too much more than you get already in the old Sonic generations, I will get the new Sonic, of course. Yeah.
I mean, it would be rude for you not to. Sonic mega fan Thomas Parry.
So it'll be all about Sonic and fighting games and Astrobot for me, really.
I mean, like I said, I'll play Monster Hunter because my friend group will play it. Even I could never convince them to join me on Helldivers, so I've stopped playing online games at the moment. So yeah, I'll pick up Monster Hunter Wilds. I'll pick up Metaphor because it's essentially a Persona game in all but name.
And of course, what about Slitherhead? Slitterhead. To call it Slitherhead here, it's called Slitterhead, isn't it? Yeah. Now, that could be interesting, couldn't it? Do you recall this?
I don't.
The monsters look cool. It was, I think it's from Silent Hill creator, perhaps?
Oh, it's the ex-Silent Hill game. Yeah, sorry, I forgot also they showed more of Silent Hill 2 remake of the State of Play, right? Which I will also probably pick up.
Yeah, Slitterhead looks like it could be quite interesting.
I don't know. I'm just not... I haven't played a good survival horror game in a while.
Seems very action-orientated, that one.
Yeah, but I think it'll be like action-orientated in the same way that Resident Evil is. And honestly, as much as I like Resident Evil 7, it's become too realistic that it scares me in a way that horror movies don't. So I can't play these really brutal survival horror games anymore. I want the Clock Tower remake that Way Forward put out. I know I need to pre-order that physically from Limited Run as well, but that's my level. If it's 2D and I'm not in first person getting confronted with monsters, I can do it. But otherwise, no thanks.
Yeah, I haven't played Resident Evil 4 for a while because last time I played it, I found it a bit intense. Terrible, isn't it? I can play the old one, but I think the new one, just the level of detail and realism, that it's sometimes a bit much for me.
Terrible to same.
Play that. It's very good. I mean, I've liked what I played of it, but it's like I have to sort of work myself up to play that. I sort of like, oh, you have to. I'd much rather play Sonic or Shenmue. I'm more sedate.
Exactly. I mean, there's no chance of horror in a forklift truck race. Other than
not
the controls.
Well, you know, well, you know, the Mad Angels do usually accost you in the middle of your working day. So, but Rio can take them. You know, they're no trouble for him. So they're not too much of a threat.
Exactly. Anyways, that brings us to the end of an episode of Tom and Matt Attack, I guess. I should announce at this point that when you're hearing this, a new podcast from myself has been submitted to Apple and stuff, and so should be appearing soon within iTunes and everything else. First episode of it, in fact, has both of us talking about a manga that we've talked about in this very podcast a lot, called One Piece.
And
reviewing the first volume of that. Oh. One Piece, yeah.
Interesting, what's that all about then?
It's about finding peace within oneself, I think.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Something about stretchy fruits. Yeah, no, so I've launched this thing that I alluded to, I think, on episode 300 of this podcast, and we were saying that, oh, we'll talk more about film and we'll talk about everything else. But I wanted to break out the manga talk because it didn't really feel like it fitted in here the same way like anime and film discussion generally does. And so I started a new podcast called Manga Attack. At the moment, the idea is to do it weekly. Let's see how much that continues because it's proving to be a lot of work. But generally, the premise of it is I talk with a guest about a first volume of manga, and we talk about like a synopsis a bit, and we talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, and then if we would continue reading. It's still a bit of work in progress, but you know, got some interesting people like one Thomas Parry on there to talk about something we really enjoy. And yeah, it's out. Go give it a listen. Like, subscribe, etc. I mean, if you really want to, download all the episodes, like and subscribe, because it'll help me list it in the iTunes charts. But yeah, it's out there. Let's see how it does.
Exciting. It was really fun chatting about One Piece. And I think it's a great format for a podcast. So nice.
I think I've recorded six of them now at the time of recording this. I think I'm finding the groove of how to do it. Mm. So let's see. I've got some interesting guests and stuff lined up for the first couple. So I'll reveal those as they come out on Instagram and Twitter and everything else. I signed up under Manga Attack Pod, so follow that, and like I said, keep checking your iTunes in the coming days because it'll probably be there and you can listen to it and see if you like it or not. That said, this is a different podcast. It's called Tom and Matt Attack, and if you've liked this, you can find us in a variety of places, such as on BlastProcess.com. We're on TomAndMattAttack.com/podcast. We are on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. We're on Twitter at TMAcast, at GameBall for me, at TomParry11 for him. And we are also on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all of these places where you can listen to this podcast. And you should also, if you haven't, give us a cheeky rate and subscribe for this podcast also, because it lets us know you're listening.
Yeah, all good, Matt. Couldn't have said it better myself.
There is nothing to say, even though I flip-flop the order a little bit because it's been a while since I've done it. Tom, as always, mate, thank you for podcasting with me today and talking about some video games. And
yes.
Yeah, we'll be back in a few weeks' time, I guess, is the format now. Yeah, so we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks, everybody. Until then, though, be sure, as always, to game on.
Game on. And...